This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Only in America can a guy from anywhere go to sleep a pauper and wake up a millionaire. Only in America can a kid without a cent get a break and maybe grow up to be president. Only in America, land of opportunity, yeah, would a classy girl like you fall for a poor boy like me. Only in America can a kid who's washing cars take a giant step and reach right up.
Americans. We kind of need that spirit, don't we? We need that spirit back in the United States. Only in America. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my partner and buddy, Big Ed Davis, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you for joining us on this Friday, September 23rd. We are rolling through the month. Lots going on. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Weifang Zhang of the Mercatus Center. Those of you that listen to our Wednesday program know that we had a little technical difficulty. We were trying to talk with Weifang Wednesday, but we've got that resolved. So he'll be back, and we're going to talk about President Biden's announcement on 60 Minutes last Sunday. The U.S. is going to defend Taiwan if mainland China attacks them. He made no ifs, ands, or buts. He said we would. Then his aides, later in the day after he announced that, walked it back. How many times has it been now that we've gone back and forth? What the hell are we going to do if mainland China attacks Taiwan? Does anybody know in the White House? So we'll talk with Weifang Zhang about that in just a few minutes. And we are going to examine the Republicans' commitment to America pledge. Have you heard about that? It's recently announced, much anticipated. Is it similar to the contract with America? Do you remember Newt Gingrich and the Republicans back in 1994? Is it similar to that? We're going to find out. We'll examine it. And what in the heck is happening at the Air Force Academy? What is going on over there? Is it losing its way in the forest of wokeness? We're going to take a look. Stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, I think everybody can relate to this one. The top 10 states with the worst road rage. Have you ever encountered or been a part of a road rage incident ever? So stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. By the way, don't forget to listen to Senior Voice America. It's a great show. It precedes our program. In fact, it's on every Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m., Tim Bryce and Company, here on the Tantalk Radio Network. All right. So, Ed, it sounds a lot better. I think the quality of everything going on here, and hopefully when we talk with Weifang Zhang, we'll be able to hear him this time around. So, looking forward to that. So, we got this commitment to America. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy today is going to detail exactly what it's all about. But apparently it's going to include combating inflation. It's going to include trying to close the border. It also is going to include allowing women, biological women, to participate in women's sports. Now, what's going on here? Why are we allowing only biological women to compete in the sports? I want every kind of woman to compete in the sport. Just like, boy, isn't it crazy that you have to reaffirm that? It's really wild.
It's like when companies have to put those stupid labels on their products, you know?
Yes, yes. You know, like do not pour this container of coffee over your head.
McDonald's coffee cup, do not pour on head. as coffee is hot and may burn
exactly.
head. You know?
Do you remember, speaking of that, do you remember the woman that collected several million dollars from sure. McDonald's when she drove through and apparently she spilled her own coffee in her lap? You know how you're sitting here at the drive-thru, you put it between your legs.
Did not know.
And then she sued and won?
Did not know. It was
too hot.
Yes.
They actually had to tone down the temperature. Anyway, so we got the commitment to America. I liked the sound of the contract with America. That one got a hand Newt Gingrich. A salute, because it sounded so good. Commitment to America, eh. But you know what? They've been teasing this for months. They think that this can help them take back the House. Now, here's been the thing about people that are criticizing Republicans. They say, yes, we have inflation. Yes, we have an open border. Yes, we bungled Afghanistan. Yes, the gas prices are too high. And all of the other, but what are you going to do about it, Republicans? Rather than just complain about what the Democrats are doing wrong, we don't hear you coming up with what you will do. What are your solutions? So this is what this is all about.
Well, they've already, the Democrats have already come out and said this is just a bunch of MAGA controlling issues.
That's correct.
With abortion and whatnot.
As a matter of fact, let me quote what they said. Right. House Republicans are doubling down on an extreme MAGA agenda to criminalize women's health care, to slash seniors' Medicare, and to attack our democracy. That's a press release from your best friend there, Nancy Pelosi. Of course they're going to trash this thing. They're going to go after them. And have you noticed that they are so gleeful that they got Donald Trump still front and center? And they're going to use that, the Democrats are going to use Donald Trump. They're going to wave the Donald Trump red flag all the way to the voting day,
it's
to
called
the voting booth.
Trumpophobia.
And they're going to use it. And to some extent, it may be to their advantage because Trump's got these things going on. He's now being sued by the New York State Attorney General, Letitia James, or whatever her name, who's had it in for him ever since
before
he
got elected
off
in office. That was what she was running on. I'm going to go after Donald Trump. Now I think she's sweet on him too. You know, like Nancy Pelosi, she's sweet on him.
Yeah, I know that you think about that.
I think that's going on there.
I'm trying to get the visual actually out of my mind.
Well, you know, Nancy tore up that speech.
That you can tell that she kind of liked him when she did it.
Like it was a foiled love letter from Donald Trump.
Maybe that was what it was.
Maybe she caught him writing someone else. And
that might have been what she tore up.
Maybe that's what she was tearing up.
It was a love letter. I never thought of that.
But the Dems are not going to bring up the border. Nothing on the border at all. The border to them is secure. Meanwhile, New York City, did you see the tents? In New York City, they're putting up with rows and rows of nice-looking cots. Everybody's got a nice little night table.
You mean this is a taxpayer expense?
Yes. Now, here's my question. Can a New York City homeless person walk into that tent and grab a cot? Or do you turn them away and say, no, these are just for our migrant friends?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I was thinking they were homeless tents. And how do you tell the
difference?
They're
not homeless tents. They are specifically
for... If I was homeless, I'd start learning to develop a Spanish accent.
Then when they're coming off the bus, they ask them, do you know where you want to go or do you have a place to go? No, you go here. We take you to the housing tent there. It probably houses maybe, I'd say close to 50, 60, 70 migrants. Everybody's got a nice cot.
Yeah.
You think people on the street in New York City are seeing that? They're living on the street and saying, wow.
You know, I heard a very interesting solution to the whole homeless problem. And I must admit that it gives me pause. And the more I think about it, the more I think it might work. And I believe it was, the Five, the program called The Five on,
yes. yeah,
on
yeah.
Fox. And Greg Gutfeld is one of the regular cast members. All right. He said they should establish some area out in the woods, out in a rural area outside of, say, New York, Chicago, San Francisco, LA, Houston, wherever, and take homeless people to what amounts to a tent city out there. In other words, you're homeless, okay, you want to live in a tent, you don't want to go into a hospital or get medical help or whatever it is, all right, here's a bus, We're going to put you on the bus, and now you can go to the homeless place, and it will be a homeless community. It won't be in the city, though, you see? This is a way the mayors would bus them to this place. And I was thinking, you know, that might work, because if you wanted to be that way and live in a tent, you could do it with other people, and you wouldn't be bothering the people on the sidewalks in the middle of the city.
Our homeless population would triple overnight. How many people go, forget the mortgage, honey. Go buy a tent. They're giving away free land.
Well, I know, but it would be a, it would be an area. But think about it, because I think it might be an interest. And then, you know, once you feel that you don't want to live in the tent anymore, in the homeless community, and you're ready to get back into regular
society. Move on up, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we're keeping our poor friend waiting here. Wifeng. So let's take our break. When we come back, we will be talking with Wifeng Zhang of the Mercatus Center.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Friday, Freedom Works, and delighted to have back Wifeng Zhang, from the who is a senior research fellow at the great George Mason University Mercatus Center. We're going to talk with him about Joe Biden's 60 Minutes interview, where everybody fell off their chairs when Biden once again said we're going to defend Taiwan from an attack by mainland China. First of all, Wifeng, thank you for coming back, and our apologies for the phone trouble on Wednesday.
No problem, Paul. Thanks for having me again.
Absolutely. This is such a critical thing. So Joe Biden goes on 60 Minutes last Sunday, and he again said, without any qualification, that the U.S. forces would defend Taiwan in the event of an attack by mainland China. And was it the same, was it that Sunday a little bit later in the evening when the Biden administration tried to walk it back?
Exactly. So this is the fourth time the president said the U.S. would defend Taiwan against a Chinese attack. And also the fourth time his subordinates come out to say the opposite. So there's a lot of problems with that episode and with something like that happening four times in a row in less than 2 years.
This is kind of scary. The one thing, the more I think about this, Wifeng, do you think that this might be an intentional faux pas by the administration to keep mainland China off guard as to what we would really do?
It's possible, and I think that's the most generous interpretation of what what happened. So yeah, very generous, Paul. But the theory is this, that the reason the U.S. policy for decades is has been trying to keep it ambiguous in terms of whether we would do that. Mum's the word is the strategy. So we are not going to say either way. Now, you could also try to keep the mainland Chinese guessing by saying two contradicting things at the same time, right? So having the president say one thing and having his staffers to negate that right after. You would also keep Beijing guessing. But it's something very hard to manage because sometimes White House officials seem to be scrambling to deny or to negate what the president said, right? So if you want to keep it vague, you probably want your first message to be about as important as the second one. But when you have scrambling like this, how can you make sure Beijing is interpreting your sophisticated messaging the right way, right?
Yeah.
What if Beijing the second message more seriously and think that, oh, they're not going to defend, so we can invade, right? So that's a very problematic strategy to keep your enemies guessing.
Well, he was so unambiguous about it, Biden was, when he was asked, and in fact, the host of 60 Minutes even asked it the second time just to make sure he was hearing it correctly, and you know, Biden has said the same thing. Yes, we would defend. We would go to you know, we would defend Taiwan. So, the other thing right now is Russia and Vladimir Putin, president of Russia, pays a visit to Xi, President Xi, and we don't know exactly what the two of them were talking about, but it seems like, and I want to get your opinion on this, it seems like she was probably not as committed to backing Putin's war in the Ukraine as Putin might have wanted him to be. Am I reading that a little bit? Is there any truth to that?
I think you're probably right. It's also always hard to know what they talk about or what they know, you know, from just observing what happens in the public. But one thing I did want to point out is the Chinese often have very good intelligence on the U.S. or the European countries in terms of how they collect intelligence. But they don't seem to pay enough attention to their allies and friends. So if you think about a country like North Korea, and how strong their nuclear capacity really is, the Chinese don't seem to have enough as good intelligence as the U.S. has on North Korea's nuclear program, at least from public information. And so I wouldn't be surprised if China does not have a very good idea how well or how poorly the war is going for Putin. And so the reason for their meeting, I think in large part, is for the Chinese president to really ask him, like, are you guys really doing well? Because the Chinese are very smart in terms of picking sides. If the Russian invasion is not going well, they are not going to put their eggs in the same basket and go down with Putin.
Right.
So I think what seemed to have happened in the meeting.
You know, speaking about North Korea, so they wander, they somehow they somehow get in touch with Russia, and maybe China just isn't listening in, like you say, and they start talking to Putin about giving him or selling him nuclear armaments or technology of some sort, weapons of some sort. And so we're saying to ourselves, wait a second, is Russia hurting for nuclear or for regular armaments to the point that they got to negotiate and purchase them from North Korea? Is that what is going on, Wi-Fi?
That's a very good question. It's really hard to find out, because even just not even in the nuclear sector, even just the regular Russian army, how well are they still standing? I think it's something very questionable, and this is something I think is people don't pay enough attention to this, which is that if you think of the military power of Russia or North Korea, for that matter, or China, they seem strong because they spend a lot of money in their military in terms of the percentage of GDP, for example. But are they really strong? That's very questionable. If you think of China, it hasn't really gotten into an active kinetic conflict, a war, since the 70s, right? So decades out of practice. And so the same goes with Russia, too. Before the invasion, we thought the Russians were, you know, going to take over Ukraine very quickly. But now it's more than half a year has passed, and they are still, you know, struggling or even retreating. to some extent.
It's amazing. It really is. We're talking with Wai Fang Zong. He's the senior research fellow at George Mason University's Mercatus Center, and we are talking about the flip-flop by Joe Biden and the administration on whether or not they would defend Taiwan in case of an attack by mainland China. Let's get back to that, Wai Fang. What do you feel, how do you feel about America's intention to defend Taiwan? Is that a good idea?
I think it may not be a good idea at the time, meaning in the late 70s, which is when the so-called strategic ambiguity was first started. But I think the commitment to defend Taiwan is a good idea now. And the reason for this change is that back in, you know, in the late 70s, when China was first starting to open up, it was not a huge military power. And so Taiwan actually stood a chance in fighting if China did invade at some point in the past. And so the reason the U.S. policymakers were thinking was to say, if we are making the commitment too clear, then the Taiwanese would not be, you know, taking their own defense seriously. And U.S. policymakers thought that the Taiwanese should take their defense more seriously. So we are not going to provide too much assurance such that the Taiwanese are still on their toes, right? So that's the idea for keeping it vague. But now, you know, Taiwanese defense spending has been declining for decades, but the Chinese has been, you know, exploding in terms of how much they're putting into the PLA. And so I think Taiwan's the defense of Taiwan is beyond Taiwan's defense right now, which means that it pretty much requires the Western world to step in, because the powers was are really just lopsided.
Yes.
And so with the intention getting stronger and stronger, I don't see any other approach to sustain peace in the region if the U.S. does not get involved.
Okay. Well, I guess China's President Xi can look at what the United States is doing in Ukraine. We are supplying weaponology to the Ukrainians. And the Ukrainians have been holding off Russia. I mean, it's kind of, there's a similar situation going on there as to what may occur maybe with Taiwan. The United States is not going to send soldiers over there, okay, and land on the ground. I just can't see that. I'm thinking that we would supply Taiwan with weaponology, and perhaps, would you agree that we might have some sort of air protection where we would send our airplanes there and actually kind of fortify in the air, you know, and pushing back on mainland China that way?
I think that's possible. And I understand the argument you made, Paul, which is reasonable. But there's a difference here between Ukraine and Taiwan, with Taiwan being just so close to the Chinese mainland, and then the rest was just the ocean there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it rests upon the U.S. Navy, the naval power, to have a strong presence there, mm-hmm. to work with perhaps the Japanese and the Koreans. So that's a tougher challenge. I'm not a military.
Do you think we're trying to excuse me for interrupting you, but do you think we're trying to reinforce our arrangement? excuse me, with the Japanese and others around them to reinforce the idea that hey, the United States will not be the only one coming to the aid of Taiwan, and this would be maybe something that President Xi would look at and, you know, and maybe back off, and it would give him pause?
Yeah, I think the U.S. seems to be doing that. In fact, I think a year ago, the Japanese National Guard came out to say that, or the defense official came out to say that Japan would actually defend Taiwan unconditionally. Doesn't even depend on whether the U.S. would do the same. Japan would defend Taiwan if China invades the island. And so I think I could certainly see the Biden administration now working closer with Indo-Pacific ally. And I think that would be a good thing. The fact that I think the U.S. should participate in defending Taiwan doesn't preclude our allies in the region to do the same. Mm-hmm. I think we should encourage allies. in the region to do the same. But it's just supplying weapons, back going back to your question, Paul, I think would be harder to sustain the defense compared to the Ukrainian defense of the Russians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It seems like Xi, again, the mainland China head, is more, what's the word? He's more level-headed than Putin is. He's more maybe cautious than Putin is. I get the impression that Putin is almost, I can see him sitting in his room with his head almost exploding in anger when he sees what's going on, in the Ukraine, because it's not going well for him right now. But it seems to me that Xi is more cautious that way. What do you think?
Well, I absolutely agree. I mean, you could even see the anger from Putin's face when he comes out on television, not to say behind closed doors. I do think there's an interesting difference between the authoritarianism in China versus that in Russia. I think in China, there's this problem of the Communist Party, which used to have its legitimacy on communism. Nobody in China believes in communism anymore these days. But the legitimacy of the CCP now rests on the economic growth as a replacement of the ideology, right? So we are ruling the country still, not because we believe in communism anymore, but because we could provide, provide economic growth.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, I think, is a huge factor that Putin doesn't have that consideration, which means that every single Chinese leader, either before or in the future, perhaps after Xi, will have to take the economic growth into account, which means that their decision-making would have to be driven by more rational thinking rather than the craziness.
I want to make sure I understand you. I may have misunderstood you. The Chinese people, are they behind and agree with, overall in mainland China, are they agreeing with the idea of a possible takeover of Taiwan? Or are they not in the know about it? What do you think the people of mainland China, how they feel overall about Taiwan?
That's a great question, Paul. During the Speaker Pelosi's visit to Taiwan, the Chinese propaganda made, I think, a mistake of talking tough too much without actually putting that into action. They did have military drills around the waterways near Taiwan. But what happened after the Pelosi visit was that people on the social media in China were complaining about the Chinese regime, saying that, you talk tough, but look what you're doing. You're not doing much. We are not taking Taiwan back. Do something. That's the complaint we were hearing on social media in China. So I think the nationalism is still very strong among the Chinese people, which explains why President Xi actually, despite all these economic disasters during COVID, like the lockdown policies, remained very popular inside China.
So they're behind him, and possibly they're behind his attempt to take Taiwan back into the fold.
I would suspect that they would stand behind the Chinese president if he decides to invade and take over Taiwan.
Okay. Well, I think it's always a pleasure, and I'm so glad we were able to work out our phone issues, and I look forward to talking with you again down the road.
Thank you very much for having me, Paul.
Absolutely. Our pleasure. All right. Weifeng Zong, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, what is happening to the Air Force Academy? It seems to be losing its way in the forest of wokeness.
Like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful, and I tell her every day.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Steve Vaccaro, psychologist and host of the Chapters Wrap Live. Each live show will bring on top-notch guests from the nonprofit world. We are the advocacy show that provides a platform for other advocates. So please tune in on your drive home from work to share your voice. The Chapters Wrap, where unity and diversity meet one chapter at a time.
Listen to Kicking Unhealthy Relationships to the Curb at 5, Voices for Change at 6, Reach Out with Ray and Steve at 7, and the Chapters Wrap at 8, Wednesdays, here on the TANTALK Radio Network.
What's the buzz in Tampa Bay? Senior Voice America Radio, a unique morning variety program delivering the latest commentary on politics by host and political analyst Tim Bryce and the up-to-minute happenings of Wall Street. Beyond politics and finance, they scale the scholar's rampart by including topics on religion and nutrition with thought-provoking guests and interviews. Tune in every weekday from 8 to 10 a.m. on this TAN Talk station. Senior Voice America, serving our nation's seasoned citizens for over four decades.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Esta noche bailamos. Te doy toda mi vida.
We are back on a Friday on Freedom Works. Delighted to be here. And before we get to the story on the Air Force Academy, a couple of stories here in Florida. Joe Biden. Ed, did you know Joe Biden's going to show up here on Tuesday? He's going to be here. He lost the state, of course, in the last presidential race. Florida went for Donald Trump.
When you say here, you mean Tampa?
I'm trying to find exactly where it is.
Orlando for the...
Yes, I think it's Orlando. It doesn't say specifically. Isn't that funny in here? But he is coming to Florida. It sounds like Orlando. And this is his first time as U.S. president that he will show up in Florida. I wonder how many Democrats will be there to join him. That's number one. Because, you know, it's sort of like they don't want to be anywhere near him if they are running for election or re-election.
Well, the, quote, MAGA group is pretty strong in Florida.
Yeah. And he's probably going to be going after the MAGA group when he's here. He better be surrounded by a lot of liberal Democrats because it'd be very, very interesting. They say that he is expected, Biden is, to offer his most sharply targeted attack on Ron DeSantis. He's going to be talking about the way DeSantis handled COVID-19 and the way he's bussing people around, dropping them off, you know, in places
migrants? The border's closed. How can he be busing anybody if the borders are closed?
You know, that's a topic, by
Would
the way.
Would somebody bring that up to him, please?
Yeah. That's a topic usually that Biden and the Democrats don't want to bring up.
I mean, if he says, you know, and your governor is busing these migrants out and coming, I thought you said the border was closed.
Yeah, right.
Wait a minute.
And the other story I want to talk about here in Florida, it's kind of interesting. Marco Rubio is up for re-election, and right now he leads his Democratic opponent, Congressman Val Demings, by 2 points. This is a poll called Civics, C-I-V-I-Q-S, which was released yesterday. It found 49% of likely voters support Rubio, 47% support Demings. You know, you don't hear much about that race. I mean, I haven't really. Have you?
I've seen the spots on TV and
have
heard
you?
About her. All the law enforcement agencies pretty much in Florida have backed Rubio over her because she was for defunding the police. She came out.
Now, she comes from a police background.
Yeah.
And she has gotten a couple of police organizations to back her, but you're right. I think the vast majority of them are voting for
sheriffs and all that.
Police overall have turned Republican. Let's be honest, across the country, they've turned Republican because they feel that Democrats have abandoned them. They've abandoned backing police, particularly in the cities.
I don't think there's any worse feeling. You know, people have had jobs when your boss doesn't back what you're doing.
How can you go out and risk your life to capture some guy that might have, that's crazy, might have a gun, a bad guy, uh-huh, only to see the guy walk?
Right.
Are you going to risk your life? Can you see why so many police have decided to turn in their badges?
I mean, these people were arrested, and the police are filling out the paperwork. By the time the cop goes to the local donut joint or whatever to have a little coffee and donuts, the perp is there having lunch, too.
Let me give you a specific example that I cannot believe. This happened in North Dakota. I'm sure you heard about it. Some guy, a drunk 41-year-old man, ran over and killed a guy he claimed he had a political argument with, but was afraid of him.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that that he posted bond and got out?
Yeah.
The guy intentionally killed him with his car.
And do you know that
he intentionally? He admitted it.
Do you know how many minutes that story got run on all the other networks?
Except for Fox?
None. Not one.
AP did a report, and they failed to mention that the assailant thought the victim was a Republican extremist. They didn't mention that in their story. An AP report on the killing of a North Dakota teen by a drunk 41-year-old man over a, quote, political argument declined to note the assailant thought the victim was part of a Republican extremist group. Here's how the AP stated it. A driver charged with fatally striking a teenager in North Dakota told investigators he purposely hit the teen with his SUV after they had a political argument. But they didn't say that the guy was a Democrat.
No.
That ran over a Republican.
No.
Now, why wouldn't they bring that up when it was clear? Because they didn't. See, they did. And like you said, the rest of the networks ignored the story altogether. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine how much exposure it would have gotten if it was a Republican in the car running over a liberal at some sort of demonstration?
Well,
can you imagine?
Then it would have been Trump's radical group. That's how it would have been.
Exactly.
I mean, for crying out loud, when the Queen died, when the Queen passed away of England.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, again.
No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
When she passed away, the other networks, it was not their number one story. The Mar-a-Lago Trump thing was their number one story. I specifically looked, and they led with that story.
I mean, if you flip around now, where all these other things are going on, they're still honing in on Trump. They are so gleeful that he's been sued in New York and that the documents in Mar-a-Lago, they are gleeful about it.
Out of all these accusations over the last 6 years, how many of them have been criminal that have stuck? None. Not one. They've all been hearsay. And to listen to a guest on a radio show that was a former judge, it could have been a former judge of American Idol, I don't know, but to say that, that's true, all these things, they're going in the right direction. Well, I guess he ran his courtroom on hearsay, because that's all, anything you've gotten about Trump has been hearsay. Whistleblower. I heard the person that would listen was listening to the call is dating my brother's sister.
Well, you know, look at all of the documents that were taken out of the White House by other presidents, or even our Secretary of State at the time, Hillary Clinton, in terms of her setting up her email system. And all of those classified documents not only landed on her private email server, did you know that, what was the name of her assistant, Uma?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Okay. They got onto her system and then into the hands of Uma's crazed husband. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yes.
Where's Hillary? Did they go after Hillary? No.
And then she mocks it by putting a hat on says, but her emails.
And then she tried to scour her phones of all the records and use a bleach bit and all these other things to get rid of all the evidence. Did they do anything? Did the FBI do anything to Hillary Clinton? So bring that up every time you hear whatever group, bring up how bad Donald Trump was with these documents, because they won't have a rational answer.
This.
She was Secretary of State. She wasn't even a president who at least can say, well, declassify.
Mm-hmm.
A Secretary of State can't declassify.
this woman that the prosecutor in New York, I forget her name, you said the woman that's going after Trump.
Yeah.
Anyway, this has been, what, a four-year itch for her that she's got absolutely nothing out
Letitia
of it.
Letitia James, is that her name?
Absolutely nothing from it. Nothing. Now it's gone to criminal. It's gone to civil because they can't find anything criminally done. And I mean, for crying out loud, you could sue anybody in a civil court, for crying out loud.
It's not going to go anywhere. And I think people realize that this is...
Look at O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson. He went to civil court. They got millions of dollars. He hasn't paid a dime of it.
O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, right.
With the killings, you know, he got off from
it was
that.
He was found guilty in a civil trial.
Sure.
That's right. Standard is lower in a civil trial. Okay, we got to get to this Air Force story here. Ed, you're delaying me. No. But here's the thing on the Air Force. The United States Air Force in Colorado is encouraging cadets to apply for what's called a Fellowship for Gender Minorities that specifies this. Cisgender men need not apply. Now, from what I'm trying to remember what all this means, but I think cisgender man is a heterosexual man. Cisgender. A man that, you know what I mean, normal, okay? Biologically, you know, heterosexual. The Academy sent an email September 14th informing cadets that the application for a fellowship for undergraduate women and gender minorities is available for those interested in aerospace. It says on the website, if you are a cisgender man, this program is not for you. But if you are a cisgender woman, a transgender woman, non-binary, agender, bigender, two-spirit, demigender, gender fluid, gender queer, or another, or another form of gender minority, this program is for you. Now, I don't know what an agender is. I don't know what a two-spirit is. Well, I don't know what a demigender is, although I may have ordered one at Norton's.
Yes.
Give me a demigender and bring a maraschino cherry. But
that's with no salt on it. Remember.
What is going on with the Air Force?
They're making these things up as they go along.
They have to be.
Because this has got to be a joke. Isn't the school in New York? The schools in New York that they want to remove the word mother from the kids and call it a birthing parent.
Yeah, there is a place where
a birthing parent.
Oh, that's another thing. I think at the Air Force
doesn't that sound like pure love when your child comes home and goes, birthing parent, I love you.
It's very romantic.
We'll have to get rid of Mother's Day.
I know
because that's
birthing parents day.
Birthing parents day. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So this is just nonsense, and of course we. By doing this, we forget what the Air Force and the Army and the Marines and the Navy and the whole bit is all about. Defending our country. That's what it's about.
Yeah, can we get
back to them? We have lost our way. We have lost our way in the forest of wokeness.
Do we have too much time on our hands for our military?
I know.
I mean, no. Please don't. I don't want to put that against the men, the servicemen and women that are serving
absolutely.
In this country.
Absolutely.
I'm talking about the yahoos with the medals on their chest.
Yeah,
that are sitting in the offices, just you know, wondering, how can we? There's an old saying: the more you change the plumbing, the easier it is to stop up the drain.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you want all these avenues? I mean, you're just going to get yourself into trouble here.
Absolutely right. Hey, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little sports with Ed. Then. The top 10 states with the worst road rage.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. By the way, we are here, God willing, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern on the Tan Talk Radio Network. However, if you can't listen live, thanks to Big Ed, all our shows are on tape. He tapes all our shows. Puts them on podcast, so all you have to do is go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com, click on the podcast button, take your pick of the most recent shows right at the top. In fact, you can go way down and find all kinds of shows we did some time ago. You'll see the guest for the show, and you'll see our top 10, ourfreedomworks.com. Before we get to sports, Ed, this is scary. We have the Dow Jones average has dropped below 30,000 for the first time. We're at 29,000, about 600. Boy, there's a lot of us, including me, that invested a lot of our savings into the stock market.
Well, it was handed over to mine at 27,000, and it climbed, went way up, and then it fell way back down to about 27 because he lost all the gain. So we're headed back in the direction.
Well, that's a long time ago. We've been above.
Well, not long ago.
When was the last time we were at 27?
Within 8 months? Within 8 months? Because you remember you lost all the gain. And then it went back up again.
Well, let's hope this goes back up. Now, tell me, we've got a big, speaking about, we haven't been, but football this weekend, and guess who's coming to town? The Green Bay Packers are coming to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's going to be the game of the weekend.
Well, yeah, and this is a media frenzy because this is two guys being Tom Brady and with the Bucs quarterback. And
perhaps the two best playing football
that
right
you'll
now
ever see in on the same field in quite a long time.
That's true. So, are you? What do you think? Let me put it this way: are the Bucs going to have a full flotilla of people, like wide receivers and everything?
Well, I think they'll
is
have
Julio
enough.
Jones
Mike,
going to be,
Mike Evans is suspended. The Bucs for
how about
wide
Julio
receiver.
Jones?
Julio Jones, I think he'll be a game time decision, but I think they're going to have to find a way to make him at least run some decoy routes. You know, just be out there as a decoy.
Yeah,
Mike Evans is going to be a big loss. I don't know.
Yeah,
they're going to have to find a way to run the ball. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, we're talking about Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receivers. It's going to be an interesting game. All right, what about the Rays and their chances?
They finally won a game last night after losing three in a row.
Are they in position to be in the playoffs?
Well, they still are. And you know, I'm still wondering if they're just saving their players. And just kind of getting along.
They can't afford that.
Well, it doesn't matter if you're the number one or number two seed.
You can't do that, I tell you.
I know, but I just...
You got to have momentum.
I don't know.
Got to have momentum as you go into the playoffs. I don't like the idea of sitting. I mean, I can understand for a game, but if you are starting to sit out your major stars... I'm not kidding. Well, I think you start.
They're very erratic. I mean, they went 20.
You lose your momentum.
They went 20 innings without scoring a run, and then last night by inning three they had 10.
Wow.
Or five. In the fifth inning they had 10 runs.
Gotcha. And also, how's Aaron Judge doing? In the
he's still
race?
Stuck at 60. Tied
with
the
Bay. He hit 60 though.
He did hit 60. 61 is
and
Roger
he does
Maris.
It without juice.
And do you know that the kid that caught the 60th ball the home run, actually gave it back to him for free.
God bless him. That was very nice.
I'm sure there'll be a little arrangement on the
side.
Well,
yeah. Well, I think that's terrific. He does deserve to have that ball. All right.
Real quickly, that Hurricane Fiona. Whew.
Oh, what's going on with the Hurricane Fiona?
It's hitting the Bermuda, but Bermuda laughs at hurricanes. You ever been to Bermuda? My grandparents, where I have photos of it. Everything's concrete.
So they're used.
And a lot of their electricity and stuff's all underground.
So they're kind of prepared for a hurricane?
I'm not talking about concrete walls. I'm talking about concrete walls and roofs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they just kind of pack it up for the day.
So they kind of know what... Yeah. They're prepared.
Yeah.
All right, well...
Bring it on.
All right. We now have, I think, a very interesting top 10, Ed. These are the top 10 states with the worst road rage.
Road rage.
Hey, fool, you better slow that car down!
There you go. And this comes from Forbes magazine. Forbes analyzed 10 key metrics from a survey of 5,000 drivers across the nation to identify the states with the most confrontational drivers, all right? Now, the higher the number, the worse the road rage.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Okay. And on a scale of 0 to 100. So here we go. Number 10, Delaware. Biden state, Delaware. 88.72 road rage. Number 9, Washington. The state.
Oh, the state.
Yeah, okay. Not D.C.
All right.
88.91. Number 8. This one surprised me a little bit. Farm country area, Indiana. Why are they road raging in Indiana?
Really?
Maybe around Indianapolis. 89.1. Number 7. Maryland. Back to the northeast a little bit. Well, they're kind of mid-Atlantic, really.
So we're talking all the whole state.
Well,
I mean, you could have one really bad city.
Exactly. And that's,
in Baltimore.
let's face it. All of the populated areas in the state is where the road rage is probably occurring. Don't you think?
Sure. I mean, there's no road rage at the fork in the road.
Well, no. You just get out of the car, you pick up the fork, and you drive on. Number 6, Nevada. That must be... When you lose money in Las Vegas, you're looking to ram somebody.
You're already ticked off.
You're mad. 89.66. Number 5. Now, this one kind of surprised me. And I can't figure out why they would have it. But New Mexico. Why do you think New Mexico would have a lot of road rage?
All that land. It's hot out there. People are...
Ah, come on. It can't be that. New Mexico doesn't even have, what, Albuquerque? What are they, Santa Fe? They don't even have a... Apparently, they're upset. 91.17. Number 4. This is another one. Oklahoma. I always thought Oklahoma people were laid back. Not so much. 92.86 on road rage scale. Number 3. Ah, Colorado.
Oh, come on.
Well, come on now. Denver. And,
Denver. That's it.
Yeah. Do you think so?
I mean, Grand Junction? I don't think so.
No, not
Colorado
there.
Colorado Springs and Boulder? Come on.
No.
They're all happy
Denver.
Out there. They got money.
Denver. 94.74. Must be because they're allowing all of those drugs into the state. Number 2. This is another one. Although now that I think about it, there is one place in the state where it would be bad. Missouri. Missouri. And, of course, St. Louis is the city I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
99.62 road rage.
Wow.
Don't go to Missouri.
No.
Okay, Ed, what do you think's number one?
I'm going to go with, let's blame New Jersey.
That's a good guess. You're going to be shocked.
Florida?
It's Utah.
Utah.
Utah with Mormons. They get 100 out of 100.
Wow.
Boy, oh boy, the Mormon religion does not allow, must not allow you to be nice in a car.
Yes, not.
All right, thank you so much for being with us. We will be back Monday. Drive safely out there. No road rage. And remember, freedom works.
Oh, her eyes make the stars look like they're not.